Good morning again, my friend. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, last week we were talking about the need for spiritual revelation, and we ended by saying if we limit prophecy, especially the so-called end-time prophecy, to the outward world, the world events, and nation-eating nation, instead of realizing that this is what the end-time prophecy is all about, realizing that it is all about God's purpose in Christ, then we will miss the truth and purposes of God. And the last point we discussed was very telling where the church is today. We said if we question any of the end-time prophecy teachers in some places, we will be declared a heretic and be shunned. Well, I will tell you that has happened to me personally. That's right. But somehow, lost in the shuffle. Now listen, lost in the shuffle of all of the conferences and the books and the DVDs and the podcasts and the YouTubes and the social media garbage out there. All of that, you know, lost is the essential of knowing the person of Jesus Christ. Wow. Lost is knowing the person of Jesus Christ. Has the church learned nothing over the last 2,000 years as to the folly of establishing hard and fast doctrine regarding end-time prophecy? Well, I would say absolutely not. Remember the Y2K fiasco? There were so-called Christian ministries everywhere guarantee that when the clock strikes midnight on 1 January 2000, the world was going to end as we know it. Yet many popular TV ministries gave this warning. There were even supposed computer experts backing up their claims, but even worse, many ministries claim to have found secret passages of Scripture that they said God showed them why they predicted exactly the disaster and that they were preaching. But as we know, nothing happened. Ah, false prophets. The ball fell in Times Square, and life went on and on. We could go back into history, even in recent history, with people like Harold Camping's claim, who had the biggest radio broadcast in the world at that time, that the world would end in or between 15 and 27 September 1994. You know, I still have the book my brother-in-law sent me, and I keep it as a reminder to myself of the foolishness and the folly of and man's feebleness to know the future events of God. All we need to know is Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father. Personally, I had a good friend, but now a distant acquaintance, who I traveled to many places in the world in ministry. And during Y2K, sadly, he was one of those telling the folks like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, that the world was going to come to an end. But then he took it a couple steps further. He told folks to take their money out of the banks and cash their paper money into gold and silver and bury them in their yard. You would not believe the number of calls, my friend, that I got asking me, what do we do with all of our life savings and our riches buried under our steps or in bushes? Sadly, what foolishness. My one-time friend has parted ways with me years ago when I dared to question his judgment and ask him to treat me like an equal. At the heart of all of this foolishness is control and manipulation. And at the heart of end-time prophecy is that same spirit of control and manipulation. Now, it's like, I know something that you do not know, so you better buy my book, and you better watch my TV show, and you better go to my conference before it's too late. No, my friends, just open up the Bible. Spend more time with the Lord. Get to know Jesus Christ more and more, and He will open up end-time events. You know, ready? That you need to know. At the very least, the history of failure by the church on this matter of so-called end-time prophecy ought to make us question as to whether we ought to blindly accept what these men are teaching now. despite the fact that certain events, such as the second coming, are going to happen, should we not question the interpretation of such people as to their understanding of these events? For example, most Christians and some believers I know believe there are going to be two second comings or two returns of Christ. The first is said to be when the rapture, not the word rapture is not in the Bible and did not become a doctrine until the 1930s, that when the rapture takes place, when Christ comes back for his people, what I like to call the resurrection, because that's what's going to happen. The people in the grave will be resurrected. And the second return is supposedly after the tribulation, when Christ comes back with his people to begin the millennial reign. But millions of people believe this, despite the fact that there is not even a remote suggestion from Jesus himself and the gospel that he will return to the earth twice. But you see, once we demand a tribulation and that the church must escape that tribulation, then we must come up with a way in which the church must escape the tribulation without beginning the millennial reign. So people have pieced together a bunch of verses and made them to say Jesus will return to earth and rapture his people to heaven, where they will all wait in heaven during the tribulation. Some even teach during this time of waiting, the judgment seat of Christ will happen. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is true. In 2 Corinthians 5:10 it says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in their body according to that which has done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5:10. You can see also in Romans 14:10, it kind of talks about that too. So since we are waiting, we might as well make good time of ourselves during the waiting and get judged by God. Then we can take over the earth after the tribulation. But one problem, my friend, the scriptures does not talk about this waiting period. Another good example of what I'm talking about is the Antichrist. It is commonly accepted that the Antichrist is an individual who is going to appear in the last days. People spend tons of time and money trying to figure out the identity of the Antichrist and the meaning of the mark of the beast. But in doing so, they completely ignore what the entire bit of scripture has to say about these matters. I wonder what they would do if God told them who the Antichrist is going to be. I don't know. But in fact, John says that many have already been at work back in the first century. John writes in 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last days that we know that, and we've heard that the Antichrist shall come even now." And there are many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last day, 1 John 2:18. But as we know, it was not the last days of time. So before any individual is considered, we need to understand the spiritual meaning and goals of the spirit of the Antichrist. Likewise, people expect a 7-year tribulation, called the Great Tribulation or Jacob's Woe. But does the Bible actually teach this, or is this doctrine the product of, a presupposed interpretations of many verses? Maybe so, and I would think so. Actually, the Bible does not teach that. More next week as we continue to look at how we should approach end-time prophecy. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week, and trusting that you play this again and you listen to it and you take it to heart and you open up your Bible and you search the scriptures to find the truth, and don't be caught up in all of these teachers telling you what to do, and get the Word of God, open it up, study it for yourself, find out the truth of the Word of God, and you will be surprised to find out the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. God bless, and talk to you all next week. Amen.